Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, May 24th, 2022, Psalm 25.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Psalm 25, and we are in the last paragraph of this great acrostic psalm, verses 16 to 22. David's prayer for deliverance. Psalm 25, verses 16 to 22. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship with you and your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Just need to see you just for a minute after class. Dr. Ruggieroli has a message for you. He wants to know where in the hell you've been. He hasn't seen you for 2 years or something. I don't know. The European Union takes charge. Now, what do we know about the 7-year tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel? Divided into two parts, first 3.5 years, and then the last 3.5 years called the Great Tribulation. Where does the Antichrist come from? The Antichrist comes from the revived Roman Empire. What's that? The European Union. So the Antichrist will come from the European Union. And he will be a worldwide dictator. Now, why is all of that important? You should know all that. And you should be able to see what's going on and see the tree, the shadow of it coming down. The European Union is in the final stages of enacting a law called the Digital Services Act. They say it establishes accountability measures for online platforms operating in the European Union. But in reality, it gives the European Union censorship power. Censorship power over most of the Earth's primary communication platforms. Most of the entire planet. communication platform. According to the Search Engine Journal, quote, the DSA, the Digital Services Act, aims to protect internet users by establishing an unprecedented new standard for online platforms that will see companies such as Google, Facebook, Twitter held accountable for illegal and harmful content, unquote. That raises two massive questions. First, accountable to whom? With just a little reading, the answer becomes clear. They will be accountable to European bureaucrats. The second question is, who decides what content is harmful and what is not? The answer to the second question is the same as the answer to the first. The European Union bureaucrats. Under this law, the online platforms are supposed to police their own users. But when they are compelled to do so by a government, it is government censorship. Ultimately, it's all about the global elites and silencing those who oppose their political agendas. Sounds like the Antichrist, right? Everything's being set up for the Antichrist as we speak. At first, it may seem like this law only affects people in the European Union, but in fact, it affects every person using an internet service. Anybody in here use the internet? Oh, well, you will come under control. They will be all over you. That means Alphabet, and I believe me, I don't know anything about this. All I can do is break computers. That's all. I'm very good at that. We had one over here in the big classroom, and all of a sudden it started smoking. Fire started, and the fire department came, and they're trying to figure out where the fire is, and it was in the computer because I had that thing. So that computer was, its brain was fried trying to figure out what I was trying to do. And the firemen are up on the roof, they're going all around, and all of a sudden they go, it's in the damn computer. I go, yeah, I don't know too much about computers. So that means Alphabet, which includes Google and YouTube, Meta, including Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Twitter, Microsoft, and even Amazon. What might Amazon sell that would offend the elites? Books and videos by conservatives in general and Christians in particular. I was just in to see my cardiologist, Dr. Ruggieroli, who is a believer in Jesus Christ, and his father was my doctor, first of all, until God called his dad home to heaven. His father is a believer in Jesus Christ, and he knows that, and he's in heaven. And I'm in with Dr. Ruggieroli, and he always wants to know. My heart's the least important thing in the office. Well, I said, Doc, don't you realize we're the enemy? We're the enemy. And the liberals and the socialists will do everything possible to silence me and you. I am a right at the front of the line as enemy. Why? Because I believe that Jesus Christ is the living and true God, the only Savior. And all the other religions are evil and satanic. And so I am totally opposed to diversity and inclusion. And so we got to shut down Pastor Olson and all of those pastors who believe Jesus Christ is the living and true God, the only Savior. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me, Jesus Christ. And I'm telling Doc, so that's why I'm the enemy. And I believe you believe that as well. And then I believe that the Word of God is absolute truth. Absolute truth. So what do we have going on today? Rainbow. Homosexuality, lesbianism, all of that. You don't ever, if you say that's a sin, we're going to lock you up, shut you up. You're evil. You're the problem. And I said, I believe marriage is just as God said and Jesus Christ created it. It's a divine institution for the whole human race to protect the human race. Marriage between one man and one woman. Not two men, not two women. And that is God protecting the human race. We are so degenerate in this country, so degenerate and so evil. God would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he doesn't bring judgment on this nation. And he will bring judgment on this nation. And Dr. Ruggieroli, well, he gives me fist pumps. He said, yes, he says, faith first, and then family, and then the Constitution. I said, not very many believe that anymore, Doc. We are so degenerate and so much in apostasy. Faith, family, Constitution. You're exactly right. The European Commission is considered the executive branch of the European Union government. The Commission put out a press release saying, quote, the DSA sets out an unprecedented new standard for the accountability of online platforms regarding illegal and harmful content, unquote. Note again that they are not just suppressing illegal content, but also harmful content. And the European Union decides what is and what is not harmful. The European Commission's press release quoted one of their own, Marguerite Vestager. She said the DSA will, quote, prevent dangerous disinformation from going viral, unquote. You hear that in the United States? Disinformation started by our government? Think about the breadth of that promise. It means intense and comprehensive policing of the World Wide Web. In case it wasn't clear who will be in charge, the Commission's press release quoted another of their own, Terry Britton. He said the DSA, quote, entrusts the Commission with supervising very large platforms. The European Commission will be in charge. They will supervise the results of your Google search and which items show up on your Facebook page. yours. They will know everyone in the world that uses the internet. The Bible is clear that the Antichrist will arise from the revived Roman Empire, the European Union. The Antichrist will be a European. And from there he will eventually rule the world. And the groundwork for his power is being laid right now before your eyes. It's already being laid from Europe to the whole earth. And if you are on the internet, that's you. Psalm 25. Let's start at verse 14, the Psalmic file, in the corrected translation. The counsel of the Lord belongs to the ones who fear Him. This is category 2, fear of the Lord. This is occupation with Jesus Christ. And therefore, He will cause them to know His bereath. It literally means covenant. But we noted from Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew lexicon, it says in this verse, it refers to that alliance of friendship between God and the believer who fears the Lord. The believer who is occupied with Jesus Christ. Who is that? David. He will cause them to know His covenant, the alliance of friendship. The greatest title can be given to you as a believer is that of the friend of God. And the believer who is occupied with Jesus Christ is the friend of God. The alliance of friendship between God and the believer who fears the Lord, occupation with Christ. The Ayin file, verse 15. My eyes are continually on the Lord. Occupation with Jesus Christ. David is a spiritually mature believer. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. His eyes are continually on the Lord. Because he and no one else will deliver my feet out from the net. And the word to deliver there is yatzah in the Hebrew. And it means to deliver from one's enemies. David is a spiritually mature believer who is occupied with Jesus Christ. And he knows that Jesus Christ controls history. David has absolute confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ will deliver him from the Absalom revolution and give David a great military victory in this civil war. David knows that if the Lord Jesus Christ does not provide the victory, then there will be no victory. Without the intervention of the Lord Jesus Christ, David knows he is not going to make it. David knows that Jesus Christ controls history in this time of historical crisis and national disaster. My eyes are continually on the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ, because He and no one else will deliver my feet out from the net. And the net is the historical crisis and national disaster of the Absalom Revolution and Civil War. This historical crisis and national disaster is the fourth installment of divine discipline that was originally brought about by David's function in the cosmic system. living in the cosmic system, Operation Bathsheba, adultery with Bathsheba, and then murdering her husband, Uriah the Hittite. He was living in the cosmic system and almost died the sin unto death. David is rebounded. He's back in fellowship with God, and he has advanced to spiritual maturity and has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And therefore the cursing has been turned to blessing. The suffering for discipline and punishment has been converted into suffering for blessing through rebound, his advance to spiritual maturity, and virtue love brought to completion in his heart, culminating in occupation with Jesus Christ. There is no historical disaster and no personal catastrophe that is too great for the plan of God. God is greater than any adversity or disaster. Now, there are a few times when God will remove the adversity. However, many other times, he perpetuates the adversity so that we will have the opportunity of clearing the hurdle, clearing the spiritual hurdle of disaster testing, clearing it and glorifying God, using his grace and his power to clear the hurdle of disaster testing. And that's what David is doing. When we clear the hurdle with precisely correct procedure, God's problem-solving devices, then our personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ become even greater. God promises the believer in fellowship, living the spiritual life, that no testing will be unbearable. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Now, that brings us to the last paragraph of Psalm 25. And that last paragraph is a prayer, David's prayer. This is the prayer of a spiritually mature believer. This prayer was powerful prayer, effective prayer. This is David's prayer for deliverance. Psalm 25, verses 16 to 22. And we'll read it from the King James, the last paragraph, so you get the hank of it. Verse 16. Turn unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all its troubles. That's a phenomenal prayer. This is a prayer of a believer who is occupied with Jesus Christ. We start out in verse 16. Verse 16 is the pay file. The pay file looks like that in the Hebrew. Spell it like this, P-E-H, pay file. The pay is the 17th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The pay represents an open mouth. And therefore, a couple of things. One, therefore, the paphile means the use of the mouth in speaking, in teaching, in praying. Here, it's used emphasizing prayer. Two, this introduces the last paragraph of Psalm 25, David's prayer. The paphile introduces the last paragraph of Psalm 25, David's prayer. Three, David is a spiritually mature believer, and therefore his prayers are powerful and effective. James 5:16, and we'll look at that a little bit later in our study this evening. David is a spiritually mature believer, and therefore his prayers are powerful and effective. Four, David knows that if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't provide victory, then there will be no victory. David knows that if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't provide victory, there will be no victory. So, the paphile, verse 16, King James first of all says, "Turn unto me and have mercy upon me." This is the cal imperative of the verb pana, joined by a makef to the preposition el, with the first person singular suffix, plus the conjunction vav prefixed to the cal imperative of the verb kanan, with the first person singular suffix. So we have two verbs here. The first one is pana. P-A-N-A-H. Pana. One, pana literally means to turn. Pana literally means to turn. Two, when pana is joined by a makef to the preposition el, as it is in our verse, then it means to turn to me in the sense of hear my prayer. So it literally says turn to me, but it's in the sense of hear my prayer. Three, the imperative mood is the imperative of entreaty, introducing David's prayer to God the Father for deliverance. The imperative of entreaty is a polite command. Four, David is praying for deliverance from the historical crisis of the Absalom Revolution and for deliverance from the national disaster of the Civil War. So David is praying for deliverance from the historical crisis of the Absalom Revolution and for deliverance from the national disaster of the Civil War. So when it says literally, corrected translation, turn to me, the best translation is, please hear my prayer. Please hear my prayer. And then the conjunction vav, connective, correctly translated and then the verb kanan. C-H-A-N-A-N, kanan. Now this verb, kanan, is a verb of grace. We have the noun kain that comes from it, which means grace. This is one of the verbs of grace in the Hebrew. So one, kanan with the first person singular suffix means be gracious to me. Be gracious to me. And that is that's the way a winner believer prays. The winner believer has maximum grace orientation. He understands that God is everything and he is nothing. And therefore, in his life, the grace and power of God is all that matters. 2, David has genuine humility, maximum respect for God and his word. And he knows that God is everything and that he is absolutely nothing. David has genuine humility, maximum respect for authority, respect for the authority of God, respect for the authority of the Word of God. He knows that God is everything and that he is absolutely nothing. 3. David has maximum grace orientation. David has maximum grace orientation. And therefore he knows that his own personal deliverance and the deliverance of the nation will be totally by the grace of God. Not who and what David is. And David is a genius in many different fields. He's a military genius. He's a musical genius. He's a genius in many areas. But David has maximum grace orientation. He knows that his own personal deliverance and the deliverance of the nation will be totally by the grace of God. Not who and what David is, but who and what Jesus Christ is. Four, genuine humility and grace orientation made David a great king. This is what makes a leader great. Genuine humility and grace orientation makes a leader great. Genuine humility and grace orientation made David a great king and a great leader of the establishment forces. He was a great military leader. Why? Genuine humility and grace orientation. That's what makes a great king. That's what makes a great leader in the military. And he is a great leader of the establishment forces in this time of historical crisis and national disaster. So the corrected translation, please hear my prayer and be gracious to me, for I am desolate and afflicted. This is the conjunction ki joined by a makef to the adjective yachiv, plus the conjunction vav prefixed to the adjective. Now, this is hard for me to do. I'm not Jewish. Obviously, Olsen is not Olsenstein. Now that, but I'm not Olsenstein. A good Jew can close his vocal cord. We have an ayin, and it's, and I'm, I know this is ani. And we have in the same line a personal pronoun. The adjective is ani. The personal pronoun is ani. This is the adjective. That's an ayin. Got it? This is the personal pronoun. So here's the personal pronoun. See it? Look at ani. Here's the adjective ani. Notice this one, the I-N, like this over the word. This one, this way. They both are A-N-I. Ani, Ani, Ani. But one is Ani and the other is Ani. Know what's your charge for that? You need more sleep?
Maybe a little, sir.
What's that?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you just sleep, and then everybody else will get the class. But you probably need to sleep more than you need the doctrine tonight. The causal conjunction key is correctly translated because. And then Yachid looks like that. Y-A-C-H-I-D. Yachid. Yachid literally means only one. Figuratively, it means solitary or isolated. And the best translation is isolated. And this is David describing himself. Been driven out of the palace. He's in the high desert south of Jerusalem. He's isolated. He's Yachid. Isolated. And the personal pronoun ani, and that's this one, the personal pronoun ani means I, referring to David. I am isolated. I, David, am isolated. And then the conjunction vav with the adjective ani, and it means destitute, needy, literally. Figuratively, it means oppressed, afflicted, under great pressure. This is oppression and affliction, great adversity and suffering from the Absalom Revolution and Civil War. So this verse says, please hear my prayer and be gracious to me. Because I am Yachid, I am isolated and ani, afflicted under great adversity and pressure. Please hear my prayer, Father, and be gracious to me because I am Yachid, isolated and ani, afflicted under great adversity and pressure. One. David is isolated because he had to flee for his life. He didn't have time to even pack his suitcase. He had to take off. Absalom and the revolutionary forces were right outside Jerusalem. And David had to flee for his life. He had to leave his home, his palace in Jerusalem, and he is now isolated in the high deserts. Two, David is afflicted, ani, because of the historical crisis of the Absalom Revolution and the national disaster of the Civil War. He is afflicted. He's under tremendous pressure. Three, he is under great pressure as the leader of the establishment forces who fled with him. He's under great pressure as the leader of the establishment forces who fled with him. Four, David knows that without the intervention of the Lord Jesus Christ on his behalf, he's toast. He won't make it. It isn't because of who and what David is. David knows totally it isn't because of who and what he is. He knows it's totally because of who and what Jesus Christ is. So David knows that without the intervention of the Lord Jesus Christ on his behalf, he won't make it. 5. David knows that Jesus Christ controls history. And history is in the making. As he writes Psalm 25. History is in the making. What's going to happen to client nation Israel? There's a civil war. Absalom and his cohort Ahithophel have usurped authority, David's authority, given to him by Jesus Christ himself. And David knows that Jesus Christ controls history. 6. Therefore, if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't provide the victory, there will be no victory. He knows that. He's not arrogant. He doesn't depend on who and what he is. David is. That's total arrogance. And great leaders have humility and grace orientation. You want to know what makes a great leader? That's what makes a great leader. Humility and grace orientation. That's what makes a great leader. Not arrogance. Arrogance destroys leadership ability. Self-centered, you're impressed with who and what you are and all that you know. You're not qualified for anything. 7. If God doesn't deliver, there's no deliverance. If God doesn't deliver, there's no deliverance. Eight. If the Lord doesn't give you the victory, you will be defeated. If the Lord doesn't give you the victory, you will be defeated. Nine. That is why prayer is such a tremendous weapon in the hands of the spiritually mature believer. And for the most part, this congregation knows how to pray. Not everyone here is a spiritually mature believer. Many are. But prayer is a tremendous weapon in the hands of the spiritually mature believer. Ten. David, as a spiritually mature believer, is bringing in the weapon of prayer. And he's using it properly. Using it with humility. Using it with grace orientation. Using it with virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And that's when prayer really, really takes off. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Because your personal love for God the Father motivates impersonal love for all. And as arrogant and evil as his son Absalom is, David loves his son with impersonal love. Even with all of this, even having his son drive him out of the palace, usurp his authority as king, David loved Absalom and Ahithophel with impersonal love for all. He gave orders to his establishment troops, do not kill Absalom. He gave that order to his troop, do not kill Absalom. They disobeyed. They disobeyed David's order. Where did that order come from? Impersonal love for all. Absalom's trying to flee. He had long hair. Here's a good reason to get your hair cut. He had long hair. Hair got caught in the tree, and he's hanging there with his, in the tree from his hair. And then here comes one of David's generals and throws the spear right through him, kills him. And it's a sin unto death. He died the sin unto death. Absalom died the sin unto death. Ahithophel died the sin unto death. But David had phenomenal virtue love. Impersonal love for all and occupation with Jesus Christ. And when you have that virtue love brought to completion in your heart, now, for one, you will want to pray. Day after day after day, you will want to pray. Consistently, habitually. It's not something you don't say, oh, I have to pray. No, you want to pray. Nothing can keep you from praying. If you don't have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, then prayer is the last thing on your mind. To hell with prayer. To hell with God. To hell with the Word of God. I wouldn't say that to him in your prayer. If you have said that, duck. Because the lightning's coming. No, when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, well, it's just like David here concluding Psalm 25. He loves to pray. And his prayers are powerful and effective. So David, as a spiritually mature believer, is bringing in the weapon of prayer. And he's using it properly. 11. The prayer of the grace righteous believer is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. And that is James 5:16. The effective prayer of a grace-righteous believer, spiritually mature believer, is powerful and accomplishes much. James 5:16. So, verse 16 again says, please hear my prayer, as he's addressing God the Father. Please hear my prayer and be gracious to me. I don't earn or deserve one thing, Father. I don't earn or deserve one blessing from you. But be gracious to me. By your grace and your power. It's all, if I am delivered and our nation is delivered, it's all because of who and what you are. It isn't because of me, David. He wasn't impressed with what he knew. And he was a genius, military genius. But he knows it's all because of who and what Christ is. Please hear my prayer and be gracious to me because I am isolated and afflicted. I'm under great adversity and pressure. One. Confidence and effectiveness in prayer exists when the believer has advanced to spiritual adulthood. Confidence and effectiveness in prayer exists when the believer has advanced to spiritual adulthood. What is your confidence in? Is your confidence in you, yourself? Or is your confidence in God and His Word? You see, the arrogant believer, his confidence is in himself. The winner believer, his confidence is in God and in the Word of God. So let's amplify that first point. Confidence and effectiveness in prayer exist when the believer has advanced to spiritual adulthood. Subpoint one, confidence is the virtue when it's directed toward God. Confidence is the virtue when it's directed toward God and toward the Word of God. Two, confidence in prayer is dependent upon knowledge of God's will. You got to know God. You got to know the will of God. And where are you going to learn the will of God? In the Word of God. Confidence in prayer is dependent on knowledge of the will of God. You got to know God and the will of God. Three, and therefore effectiveness in prayer must relate to knowing the will of God. You know, a lot of people will pray, and they pray absolutely contrary to what the will of God is. Why do your prayers go nowhere? Because you're praying contrary to the very will of God. The mature believer knows the will of God because he has the will of God in the Word of God in his heart. And so he prays according to the will of God, not according to his arrogance, but according to the will of God. Four, the will of God is revealed in the Word of God. You can't get too much of the Word of God. You can't get too much Bible doctrine. You can't learn too much of God's Word, because the will of God is revealed in the Word of God. You have maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart, you will know the will of God, and then you'll pray according to the will of God. Not your will, God's will. You pray according to God's will, you're getting there. Five. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart enables the believer to know the will of God and to have a powerful and effective prayer life. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart enables the believer to know the will of God and to have a powerful and effective prayer life. 1 John 5:14-15. We'll be in there, 1 John 5, in our Thursday night class eventually. Turn over to 1 John 5. We're getting there. 1 John 5:14-15. First John 5:14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, not your will, according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him, because we ask according to His will. According to His will. So maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart enables the believer to know the will of God and to have powerful and effective prayer life. That's all under point one. Confidence and effectiveness in prayer exist when the believer reaches spiritual adulthood. Point two. Confidence in prayer starts out at spiritual self-esteem, continues in spiritual autonomy, and reaches maximum effectiveness in spiritual maturity. Three stages of spiritual adulthood. Spiritual self-esteem. It Confidence in prayer starts out at that point. Spiritual self-esteem continues in spiritual autonomy and reaches maximum effectiveness in spiritual maturity. Turn over to Hebrews 4. Most of you know this verse. That's good. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace. When you go to prayer, your prayers are going to God the Father. It's going to the throne of grace. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. With confidence. So that we may receive mercy, grace in action, and find grace to help us in our time of need. Again, this is the spiritually mature believer, the winner believer who has maximum grace orientation. He knows God, he loves God, he knows who and what God is, he knows the will of God. He's totally oriented to the grace of God. He knows that God is everything and he is nothing. And if these prayers are going to be answered, it's going to be totally by the grace and power of God. Not who and what the person is praying. It's not who and what you are. It's who and what God is. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. 3. Powerful and effective prayer only exists when the believer has genuine humility and maximum grace orientation. And that's our verse, Psalm 25:16. Please hear my prayer and be gracious to me, because I am isolated and afflicted under great adversity and pressure. Powerful and effective prayer only exists when the believer has genuine humility and maximum grace orientation. 4. Point 4. The effectiveness of prayer and the power of prayer is directly related to being a spiritually mature believer. Directly related to being a spiritually mature believer. Turn over to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Verse 1. I love the Lord. There's a spiritually mature believer. There's occupation with Jesus Christ. There's a mature believer that virtue love brought to completion in his heart. I love the Lord because he hears my voice. Prayer. He hears my prayer for mercy, grace in action. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. This is the winner believer, habitual, consistent, powerful prayer. Verse 3, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, deliver me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord preserves the ones who live by faith. When I was in great need, he delivered me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. The winner believer. 5. Point 5, the promise to the spiritually mature believer is in John 15:7, the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The promise to the spiritually mature believer is in John 15:7. John 15:7, and the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching, if you abide in me, meno, this is the verb meno, this is where the Apostle John, this is his favorite verb in 1 John, meno, if you remain, if you abide in me, and my words, meno, my words remain, abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. Couple things. One, if you abide in me refers to living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. If you abide in me refers to living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Now, if you're living in Satan's cosmic system, your prayers go nowhere. They go nowhere. The only prayer of a person living in the cosmic system that God hears is the prayer of rebound, 1 John 1:9. He doesn't hear any other prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. When you're living in the cosmic system, you have iniquity in your heart, and the Lord will not hear you. The only prayer He will hear from you in the cosmic system is rebound. If you abide in me refers to living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. 2, and my words, Bible doctrine, abides in you. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. And my words abide in you. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Then it says, the Lord says, and boy, do if you're arrogant, self-centered, living in the cosmic system, and you read this last part, ask whatever you want, and it will be given to you. Okay. Yeah. Wahoo! Ask whatever I want. Well, the list is long. This promise is not like a blank check on which you can write any amount you want. It's not it. 3, the key to powerful and effective prayer is maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. The key to powerful and effective prayer is maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. 4, when this is reality, you will have enough sense to know how to use the weapon of prayer effectively. When this is reality in your heart, you will have enough sense to know how to use the weapon of prayer effectively. David knows how to use the weapon of prayer effectively. This is one of the most fantastic prayers of a spiritually mature believer, Psalm 25, verses 16 to 22, in a time of great disaster testing. And God the Father heard the prayers. God the Father answered the prayers. The establishment forces defeated the revolutionary forces. David was restored as king, and David was blessed with greater blessings than he ever had before the Absalom revolution. Greater, greater, greater blessing. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing. and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.